guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of River Talk. Corey and Caleb here, and we were with our friend Ernest. Ernest is a musician in the area, and we're going to talk about his music come today and how he's involved with the community. Thanks for joining us, Ernest.
That was so professional.
It took some time.
You're welcome, Corey. You're welcome, Caleb.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where you're from, how you got into the music scene.
I'm from Southern California. I'm from a little town in Southern California. And my family's from L.A. My dad used to be a songwriter. He wrote a few songs for some people, and then he wrote some songs for himself. And so I just started playing music at a young age, probably like 8 years old. I don't really know. I'm not a prodigy or anything. And 20 years later, 20-something years later, I'm still doing it and tried to make it a career. And moved to Virginia for my brother-in-law. He's a pastor. He started a church out here, so I wanted to come help him with that in any way that I could. And now I'm here.
So who are some of your influences when it comes to music?
When it comes to music, I don't know. It kind of just goes whenever I write a song, because I write a lot of songs.
I've heard you're a big Taylor Swift fan.
T Swift, she's the Kanye of classical music. Oh my God. T Swift has done it. You know what I mean? If you're ever looking for really, really deep lyrics, I mean, Romeo, take me somewhere we could, you know what I mean? Like that, I don't know what that means.
Cardi B's lyrics are pretty deep.
Cardi B, yeah, she's another lyrical influence. You know, you could, I mean, literary majors and whatnot, those people should be writing our history books.
Let me just throw my English degree away. I mean, like, these people are creative.
You don't need it.
Yeah.
You don't need it. You really need to be taught classes on Cardi B.
I got $1 million.
So what's the first song you have for us today?
Let's see. I'll do...
Hey, you know that one I really like. Do that one.
Which one is that?
You know.
This is a test because Caleb doesn't actually listen to any of my music. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'll do a sappy song. Sappy songs are good.
Yeah.
This song is called These Hands of Mine. It was written because I don't know how to explain it, but I'm not very good at writing love songs because I think they're kind of lame. But that might just be me being lame, wouldn't it? Because
no, they're lame.
Okay, thank you. I was trying to get introspective and be like, maybe it's my fault, but it's not. They're kind of lame. And so I tried to write one, and I tried to describe every feeling that you can have, but it takes so much thought, and it's not even really, it's relative, you know what I mean? So it goes, these hands of mine are torn. They used to be entwined with yours, enveloped in your warmth. Like, it's just about talking. It's talking about holding somebody's hand, but then you think about it so deeply, and it might even lose its... It might be lost in translation. So, If anything, hopefully it's a... Wow. Owen Wilson, wow.
That's good stuff.
It is not about anybody in particular. Actually... I don't like holding hands, only with my wife. I've never really been one for the holding of hands. So
it's good that you like holding your wife's hand.
Yeah,
well, just saying.
She's the wife, and gotta take her through the world. You know what I mean?
Oh.
So yeah, I guess I'll. With yours enveloped in your warmth, and now they dangle at my side and only clench if they are forced. Oh, these hands that molded to yours. These legs are obsolete. They use used to be the stronger ones when yours would become weak. And now they're frail and they're brittle and they rely solely on feet. Oh, these legs are obsolete. You could have warned me. You could have warned me. You could have warned me. Oh, instead of letting me believe. Oh, instead of letting me believe. These ears are numb to sound. They used to hear you hum along to the melody I found. And they long for more than silence, but to my muteness they are bound. Oh, these ears are numb to sound. You could have warned me. You could have warned me. You could have warned me. Oh, instead of letting me believe. Oh, instead of letting me believe. And as the air escapes my lungs and pressures out all the words to be sung, I will stop and I will think of when you were all that you were and are to me. These eyes of mine feel weak. They're used to looking back at you while you look back at me. And in my mind, they've sealed that moment when they had to watch you leave. Oh, these eyes of mine are weak. And in my mind, they've seared that moment when they had to watch you leave. Oh, these eyes of mine are weak. I skipped the rap breakdown. There's a freestyle moment in there.
All right. So, Ernest.
Caleb.
How is trying to do music professionally different in D Vegas than, say, the other side of the country where Las Vegas is?
We call it California. But
well, Las Vegas is actually in Nevada, but...
I'm trying to understand that question. I'm not going to lie to you, Caleb. I don't understand.
Okay, how is the music industry different in California than Danville?
There is a music industry in California. The music industry in Danville, there isn't one. There's a whole bunch of cover artists, cover bands. They don't even want to be... It's kind of humbling. They don't even really want to be recognized as artists. And they're 10 times more talented naturally than a lot of people over there who want to be artists. It's because a lot of people over there, when you start getting into the industry, you have to do so much business and image and everything that music really is and truly will always be in this industry. It'll always be secondary. Great example is Adam Levine. Adam Levine is a drummer and a guitar player. Have you guys ever seen him play drums or guitar? Is he famous for being a drummer or guitarist? No. He's famous for being good looking and the lead singer of a poppy band that makes hooks and stuff, but he's actually a pretty talented musician. Prince. Prince's image is insane. Everybody, when they think of Prince, they think of purple something or like some weird, you know, abstract instrument, but he was one of the greatest guitar players of all time. So music is secondary. And over here, music is primary because people want to hear. But the thing about it is, over there, creativity is also primary. And here, creativity is muffled. So it's a good and the bad thing. Over here, you get a lot more opportunity to play. And if you're good, they'll let you know that you're good. And even if you're not, people just want to hang out and play. Over there, you could be terrible, as is shown with many artists across the spectrum. And if you have the right look and the right marketing team, you will be a success. That's all it is. And it's really disheartening because I like to play music. I like to write songs. And when you get into the industry, you realize that that's not really what's celebrated. What's celebrated is how far are you willing to let somebody take you? So it's difficult. It's very difficult. Yeah.
Have you been able to network with a lot of musicians here?
Yeah. My first week here in 2012, I came here for like 3 months, and I met a guy named Jason Springs at an open mic run by another guy named Cam Owen, and they were just names to me. It was just us three, and it was an open mic. So for me, an open mic in Southern California, if it starts at 7 p.m., you have to be there at 4. Because the line will wrap around the building twice. And, you know, they'll be like, all right, we'll only take 100 people. And then 100 people will play. Nobody's listening because they're all artists. And nobody's listening because they're anticipating playing. Where I would listen because I like music. So I'm sure there was more people like me. But over here, I got there at like 5:30, you know, and there was nobody in the restaurant. And then at 7 o'clock, there was still nobody in the restaurant. 7:30, he rolls around and brings his speaker, sets up, and another guy comes and sits down. And I was like, I'm here for the open mic. He's like, oh, geez, all right, cool. You know, like, let me get some food, and then I'll hook it up. You know what I mean? Like, that would not fly. Like, they have it set up the day before back home, like, so much stuff. And, yeah, Jason, I played a couple of my original songs, and Jason Springs was just kind. And he was like, hey, man, if you ever come back, I'll give you some shows. And I was like, that's the coolest thing that anybody's ever done for me, ever. Nobody's ever done anything like that for me. So I've been doing it at that time. I had been doing it for about 6 years. So, yeah, hopped at the opportunity. And he's given me shows. He introduced me to a lot of people. So.
What was your first project?
My first project?
Yeah.
Like project. Ever?
Yeah.
I was in high school. No, I don't even think I was in high school. I think I was in middle school. And there was a guy named Walter Cabal and a couple other people. And I played drums. And I wrote a song. And my lyrics have always been too much. You know what I mean? Like, it's just too much. And I might not even know what I'm saying most of the time. Like, some of the words are just too big. But I think it's fun, though. That's just kind of, you know, it's my guilty pleasure, I guess, is just using wording that not a lot of people use. But Walter Cabal, he was a singer. He sounded like Tom DeLonge, Blink-182. He sounded awesome. And we made a little punk band and played a song that I wrote for our church. And that was it. And that was our one and only performance. and then the rest is history. I think I was 12 years old. That was my big break.
12 years old.
Was that 12?
For Jesus, yeah.
Right, writing songs, yeah. So the first song I ever wrote, I was 10. My dad has it framed.
What?
Yeah. It was at a church. It was at church, and I saw this poster, and I was inspired. And so I wrote this song. It was called What Happened to Your Hands, and it was about the holes in Jesus' hand, and if you were a child. And it was me being a child asking what happened as if he was coming home. And I was like, well, what'd they do to you? You know what I mean? So that was the first song that I ever wrote. And, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, Caleb, do you have anything to add to that?
I'm just ready to hear another song.
Cop out. I'm just kidding.
I pick and choose my battles.
This is how I fight my battle. All right, I'll do another love song. This is called Haley's Song. This song was written for nobody. And I've told this story. Everybody in this room, all 6,000 of you, thank you for being so quiet. everybody's heard this thing a million times. Start Seeking Ever, the group that I had that was writing all these songs for started as a band. And the guitar player, his girlfriend, who is now his wife and who is a very good friend of mine, not talking ill of her at all, her name is Haley. And she was very open about how much she didn't like my music. And I played this song and I messed it up when we were about to go play House of Blues. And I messed it up. And she was like, that's perfect. The way you're doing it is perfect. And I was like, well, I messed it up. So you're saying it's better if I just step out of the way and, you know, mess it up. But I was so happy that she liked something that I did finally, that I named it after her. And my manager at the time told me that I had to write a love song. It was inevitable. I had written songs about, you know, things that I thought were philosophical. They might not even truly be philosophical. And moments that I thought were detrimental to life. And he was like, you have to write a love song. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like, why? But the reality of it is that if you're going to open up a restaurant, you know, you can't just have all these crazy souffles and stuff. You got to have a hamburger. People have to be able to relate to what it is that you're going to do. And so this is my hamburger. It's called Haley's Song. Instinctively, I lay out the reasons that you smile. And keeping in mind that we will both play timid for a while. I can't veer my eyes away from thee. If I'm stern, I mean it playfully. I'll fold to what you ask. Sink and gently sigh. Respectively, I'd like to remark about your style. How you smile away and whisper, oh, you're just too kind. But a weary heart has left you to a comfort which you bind. Don't fret, my love. I know you're scared, but so am I. What if I convey a quip-filled charm? Would you like it? Would you like it? What if I would say what's really in my heart? Would you mind it? Would you mind it? Well, if it's pure as a ritual, is it lost purely visual? I like to pursue it and keep a steady charm. By no means overdo it or cause either of us harm. Maybe if I'm quiet, you might pry and see. For you is why I smile. We got an audience member who came in. You can sit down. Yeah. If you guys can just part. Sorry, there's a lot of people in here. Yeah, go ahead and.
6,001
people. 6,001 people, man, in a living room. That's crazy.
So, what's the craziest thing that has happened at a show or, like, for you as a musician?
For me as a musician, there's two. Okay, so something that happened to me personally, I got pulled off stage. In the middle of a song.
Oh boy.
I've had a lot of humiliating experiences as a musician, which is why I'm so humble. I'm so humble. but I was playing a song for or I was playing in a, there's this thing called NAMM in LA or in Anaheim, actually down the street from where I used to live. And it's a big music convention and they have shows all over Anaheim, all over Orange County, promoting NAMM, promoting artists for NAMM. So there was this country artist from New York.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so she could be amazing now. I don't know. She wasn't very good, but well, neither was I, apparently. But so they needed a last minute booking, and my manager had just, he had his ear to the ground, and he was like, "Look, man, I got you this show for one of the NAMM artists. It's a country show, so bring your country A game." And I was like, "Sure, I'll play whatever, you know." So I was at this bar that was not too far away from my house. My friends had came. My friends were the only ones in there. So there was 11 people in this bar for this up-and-coming New York artist. What? And those people were the people that I brought. They had to pay to get in there. And I had to pay to be there as an artist. Yeah. So this was not... It was just not a good... It was just not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not saying anything ill about the establishment or the people running this thing, but it just wasn't very well put together.
I can see that.
So they were like, "Okay, you start at 7:30. I get there at 6. 7:30 comes by. I'm sitting in this bar for an hour and a half by myself. And then 7:30 comes by and they're like, "All right, we're going to have you start at 8:30. And I was like, "Okay, cool." They were like, "We need you to open for these girls to, you know, present them." And I was like, "Sweet." Well, then two other artists go up and play. Then 8:30 turns into 9. And I was like, "Hey, am I still playing?" And then they were so mad. They were like, "Oh, this guy wants to play." And I was like, "You called me.
And I've paid."
Like, and what do you mean this guy wants to play? I thought you guys wanted me to play. And they were like, "I don't even, who are you?" And I was like, "What do you mean who?" I was like, "Whatever, man. If you don't want me to play, it's fine. You know, you guys do your own thing." You have to be very careful with how you talk to people in the music industry, because one day you could be sitting across a table from them and they could be holding your fate in their hands. Yeah. So I was like, "Whatever. It's, you know, it's fine. If you don't want me to play, then it's not a big deal. I'll catch you on the next one." And the girl, the artist, was like, "Oh yeah, I called him to play." And they're like, "Okay, you can play one, you can play a song." And I was like they were doing me a favor.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess anything in this industry really is. Yeah. It is a favor, you know? So I go up there. I was playing on this $80 Fender acoustic guitar that I had, my dad had bought, and I had stolen as my own. I had began using it around town. Well, Fender at the time had just just dabbled into acoustic instruments. They're really everybody knows Fender electric instruments. They're paramount, but they had just started getting into it. So it wasn't the best sounding guitar, but it, to me, it didn't matter. If you could play, you could play on a piece of string and a broomstick. That's how I think. But so I was playing my song and there's a breakdown in it. And so there's, you know, there's one part where it kind of slows down. Well, they use that opportunity. This is 2 minutes in. She uses the opportunity and she comes and she goes, "All right, thank you so much, Mr. Galindo. All right, you can go ahead and we'll," and they pulled my guitar off.
What?
Like they pulled the plug out of it and then took me off stage. And my friends were like ready to fight these people. Like they were so mad. Yeah. They were like, "We've been here for like 3 hours. We're the only people here and you guys are pulling him off stage." And they were like, "Sorry, you know." And I was like, that's just the name of the game. I knew what I was getting into when I got into this industry. I knew that it was going to be rough like that. So to me, it really is just the name of the game. Like, there's a lot of experiences like that. There's a lot of experiences where people have been bumped. You know, there's Kings of Leon. They got bumped from a show, and they're the Kings of Leon.
Yeah.
So that Green Day could have a longer performance time. Like, so, I mean, even when you make it to a certain part, you're still going to be, there's always going to be somebody who has more pull and more power, and that's going to be like, "Yeah, we don't need you right now," you know what I mean? And I still wouldn't take it back. I still want to play, you know, I still would have done it because it's just, I love doing it. Now, working at a retail store, if somebody did that to me at a retail, I would just be like, "I quit," because I hate doing that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this is something that I love doing, so it's just, you roll with the punches. Yeah,
yeah.
And then at another one, somebody got arrested mid show, not in our band. We were at a bar in this place called Temecula, which is kind of out there. It's in the Inland Empire in Southern California. And, somebody was getting arrested in the bar. Like cops were throwing him down and just like, get on the ground. And we're like, love is here. I don't know what we were playing, but we just kept playing because we were like, if we don't stop, if we stop playing, it's going to get real. Like, yeah. So we need a safe place for this establishment because the establishment was super cool. But yeah, so that was crazy. I mean, I've had so many crazy just like experiences in this industry that it's just like people really do that. And it's true. People really do treat you like you're a rag. And if you're not the rag that they need at that time, then they'll just throw you in the garbage. But the thing about it is you have to be resilient because you have to really want to do this. And I knew from a very young age that this is what I wanted to do with my life. So it doesn't matter. Really doesn't. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of experience. My first show at House of Blues, we were setting up to play, and I had the Mumford thing going on, a little kick drum and a tambourine. And the sound man at House of Blues was like, he was making fun of me to my face. He was like, you're going to do all this? And he was like, yeah, he's like, you guys are freaking amateurs. I don't know why we're here. And I had just paid $400 to play there. What? So I was like, yeah, thanks for that, buddy. So then we played our set, you know, and just, we just walked out of House of Blues, you know, like, there's so many things that have happened in this industry. Second time I went to House of Blues, it's just me, an acoustic artist, and they put me in a room next to a punk band, and they left the doors open. And they did it on purpose because the sound guy wanted to hear the punk band. Mm. So I'm playing, my grandparents are there. My grandma is dolled up like you would think it was something amazing. Like, and my sister had gone, like they were just so ready to go, and it was just them three. So I paid like $200 for them to go.
Yeah.
And they couldn't hear me.
Dang.
You know? But I mean, that's the name of the game. It's unfortunate. So people like Taylor Swift and Cardi B, they paid their dues. I'm not a fan of their music at all. But this industry is awful.
That's not what I've heard.
They might not have paid their dues. They might not have paid their dues. But I'm trying to be nice here.
I'm talking about you not liking their music. I've heard they're like your favorites.
Well, it's obvious. I think that it's everybody's. If Jesus had a music genre, I think Cardi B and Taylor Swift, those would be the only. If Jesus had an iPod, are those still around? How old are we? If Jesus had an A-track, those would be the only two tapes that he would have. Is Cardi
B. Doubt that.
Because those are the best. They're the best of the best. Kanye West has told us that it was Beyonce.
Oh, yeah.
But no, it's Cardi B. And if they ever collaborated, North Korea, they would surrender.
Yeah.
Because that's how beautiful it would be.
So tell us about the next song you have.
Don't know the next song that I have. Let's see. This next song, there was a guy named Charlie Daniels. He's still a guy named Charlie Daniels. And he was not a big influence in my life. I want to say that, since I was little, you know, I heard one song of his, and it was called The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Oh, my God.
And I thought the breakdown in that was so cool. Like, I had never heard music like that before. Didn't listen to a lot of bluegrass growing up. I'm Mexican, so... It's not a household genre. Yeah, I heard that, and I was enamored with that lick that he does on his fiddle. And I wanted to do something that was cool like that, but I'm not Hendrix. I'm not a great guitar player. So I just did something that I could do. And then this is one of the few songs that I've written where the lyrics followed suit. So I wrote the tune of it, and then I wrote the lyrics after it, which I don't like doing that because I feel like the lyrics lose their essence. But I mean, it was a single that I put out, and it did okay. I think I made like $15 off of it, which, you know, I paid about $100 to do it. Yeah. But in the music industry, that's awesome. That's awesome. So yeah, it's called Stagger. Thank you. come with a request. Give unto me a guide to light my step. Warily my strength begins to seep, and my lips begin to mumble at their best. But I won't count it all as lost. Forgive what's not forgotten. How honestly I never knew it hurt you that much. Groveling, I beg for your mercy. And my legs begin to crumble at their best. And carelessly I'd shatter my esteem and attempt to bind my reverence to my grief. But I won't count it all as lost and forgive what's not forgot. How honestly I never knew it hurt you that much. As complicated as a Charlie Daniels lick right there. That's how complicated it was.
That's the one I was talking about earlier. That's my favorite.
That song is called Caleb's Song.
Yeah. Aww. I love it. Thanks, man. That's so sweet of you to name a song after me.
Yeah, no problem, man. Well, I didn't. That was what it was called, and then it just so happens. You know what I'm saying?
The odds are ever in my favor.
Life finds a way. Jurassic Park and Hunger Games.
So, any advice to anybody who wants to be a musician?
Yeah, be the best musician that there is, but know that there is always somebody better. So that you can be good, but then you can be humble. Just be kind and be willing to work. I mean, there's the amount of work that we do as compared to somebody who goes into a trade is going to be different. It's not going to be physical. It's going to be mental, and it's going to be toil on your nerves. But if you can get a hold of all that and just be a strong, confident individual and just know that this is what you love to do, then this industry is going to be just fine, and be very, very okay with being poor for the rest of your life. That's the number one thing is be okay with being poor, because if you're not, then you'll end up with a job that you hate, wishing that you could be playing music. So, yes, I got a question for you guys.
Okay.
Why did you start this podcast?
Well, I don't know. I guess we wanted,
because we love you and we want the city of Danville to know about you.
Thank you.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the answer. Right,
that's the answer that I was thinking it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to thank all the 6,000 people for being here and supporting us during this time.
Yeah. If you could just, very quiet.
Yeah. We just need to pass the hat if you guys can.
I also know that Ernest has a CD, like a legit one.
I do. I have a CD.
You can.
I make my own, so if you want one,
yeah.
I can
yeah,
do it for you.
Like.
And how else can we follow you?
Social media, Facebook, Seeking Ever. That's the name where all my music is under. YouTube, Seeking Ever. There's a whole bunch of videos, and there's links to, you know, if you go to Facebook, there's links to everything. Links to Bandcamp where you can download the CD for free, or you can buy it. If you want, you could just approach me at any supermarket line, and I will give you a CD. I will pay you to take my CD. And yeah.
The first show I saw you, you gave me a CD. I just remember that.
Yeah, the first time I met this is I'm sorry, this is Corey Williams, purveyor of Danville and such. I met you at that triple show with me, Jason, and Morgan Wade.
The singer songwriter showcase.
Yeah.
The Daily Grind. Yeah.
Yeah, Morgan Wade.
Wow.
Insane, right?
Yeah.
Insane, man.
He's the next like a Joan Baez.
I was so intimidated. Like Jason and her have been friends forever, apparently.
Yeah.
And so they were just clowning around, and I was like, "You're Morgan Wade." And she was like, "You're creepy right now." I was like, "But you don't understand. Like, do you know who you are?"
Yeah.
And her management team was there, and they're like, you know, just looking at their phones, like, "Okay, when does she go on again?" Okay. Yeah. But I'm standing there, and then I'm supposed to banter with her, and I'm like, "You're Morgan Wade. You're so cool."
She's doing really big things now.
She was already doing big things back then, and then they just—I don't know how that show came about. And Danny, the owner of that store, is a musician, and he's a great musician. And he was like, "You guys want to do something?" And Jason was my buddy, and he was just like, "Yeah, how about Ernest, me, and let's throw Morgan in there." And I was like, "Morgan, like it's just legendary." And some people are like, I mean, I put people on a pedestal. Maybe it's just me, but like, it was awesome, man. Like just being able to play with those people, like Jason Springs, is just as killer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just as killer. Any show that I've seen of Jason Springs, he always brings it to a whole nother level. Matt Crowder, his guitar player, is one of the best guitar players I've ever seen in person. Just dumb. He could just do it. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I could talk about those people all day because they're my favorite people besides my wife.
So, can you give us one more song?
I could, but it's not free. Pass the hat. If we could pass the hat around,
yeah.
Shuffle it through.
Is this another one for Caleb, or
Let's call this for Caleb Part Two.
Oh.
I didn't know you liked that song, Caleb. That's cool.
I love that song.
Let's see. This is one of the first songs I ever wrote. It was called Weight, like W-E-G-I. Let's pretend that I know how to spell that. Can we scrap that from the record? It was called Weight.
Las Vegas crap.
No, that needs to stay. That was brilliant. It's called Heavy, and it was for my sister. Not for my sister, it was about my sister. And then it kind of morphed into just individual thoughts in there too. But it was originally about my sister because she was going through some medical stuff. Let's see if I can do the voice thing. She was going through some medical stuff, and it just brought me to this place, you know. And this is what I'm supposed to be doing. No, she was just going through.
I thought
some...
you were serious.
No, that's why I should win an Oscar. If the Oscar people are listening, just send it to my house. She was just going through some medical stuff, and I wrote the song out of it. But then it kind of morphed into my own thing too. So if you're listening and you're wondering when I'm going to say something about people going through medical stuff, I don't. it's just not that. Keeping my eyes closed, I don't think that I'm ready to see it, to bear witness to all I have made. Though I'm not proud of it, I swore a better resolve this time. How I just left you alone in your anguish, tore at the scars I made sure was still bleeding, took from you the one hope that you needed, and forced you to be alone. And in your hands the weight is draining, all the woes you've been suppressing, how the toil filled inside your lungs and thicken the air till you choke. Then you'll be coddled by the memory when I once was someone caring, and I'll remind you how it feels to be empty. If you let me, I'll take whatever's left. Keeping my lips sewn, because I know how my words are misleading, how they feed you with turmoil and deceit, how I beat regret into every strand of my bones so you'd know I'm sorry. For all the slander, the curses and backstabs, man, I wish that I could take it all back. How on my knees I request my own threat. Oh, deity, take my soul, it's not needed. Maybe it's better that I'm alone. And in your hands your head is hanging from the penance I've been bearing. How I never knew how much it hurt till I felt the strength for my own. So I'll be coddled by the memory when I once was someone caring, and I'm reminded how it feels to be empty. If you let me, I'll take whatever's left. Against my chest your head was resting, I recall reminiscing, no words, just thoughts, just hopes. Just us alone, just us alone, just us alone. Thank you guys. Thank you so much. What's that? Don't block the exits. Fire escape.
Well, thank you for joining us, Ernest. And guys, definitely follow him. You said on YouTube.
Instagram. Yeah, if you go to the Facebook Seeking Ever, you can find everything from there.
Awesome.
Thank you, Rivertown.
Yeah, we got your back. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And thank you guys for listening to River Talk. Stay tuned for the next episode.